Good morning and a warm welcome to you all. To those who have joined us on Zoom, to those listening to the service later via the website, and to those of us here in the church, whether here for the first time, those who haven't been for a wee while, and those who have been here more often than they can remember. Welcome to our service on what is traditionally known as Low Sunday, following the highs of Easter Sunday last week. But at least it still gives us an opportunity to sing again some of the Easter hymns or Easter hymn tunes. Amos and Florence are currently in South Africa, celebrating with his family his sister's significant birthday. And it's fallen to me to lead worship this morning. For those of you feeling guilty about not running the London Marathon this morning, don't worry, I don't feel guilty either. Intimations are all contained inside the order service. Please do have a read of them, and if you feel you're able to respond to some of the appeals or requests, then please do so as soon as you can. And I'm sure you've noticed a slight variation to our normal style of worship on here and in the church. There are no children with us this morning. Amos is keen to celebrate communion at Easter, and Easter being last week was very close to what would today have been our six-monthly communion, so we took the decision to combine both services last week. Sunday Club are still aiming towards having a godly play session today while communion was on, and we've left them to continue with that so the children don't miss out, given that some of them were here last week. So slightly different, but we do have things that will fill the time. Don't be worried on that score. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So let us therefore praise this Lord of ours with our first hymn, hymn 194, This is the Day. As we discovered with the young ones during Holiday Club just a week past, it's important to remember that repentance is turning back to God. And as we pray these prayers, that they echo our actions of realizing where we have turned our back to God and away from God's ways. Therefore, we confess, receive forgiveness, and draw closer to God. Let us pray. Loving God, our words so often fall short in expressing our gratitude to you. We have every reason to believe you, our faithful God, to to give thanks to the God of love, and yet we fail to. We forget to, but not today. Today we say, blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose love endures forever. On those days when our praise is on mute, please forgive us and strengthen our voices to speak of your love and justice into the heavens and on this earth. There are days when our perceptive sight is switched off. Forgive us. Lift and soften our gaze to you and to others, so we perceive ourselves as others do with you. There are days we have chosen to ignore you. Others, stories of cries and help exist, but we think and we hope that you are interested in ours. We are sorry, God. Through your Spirit, please give to us an increased sensitivity to your presence and love for ourselves and for others. Heavenly God of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is only by our faith in Jesus that we can ask for and receive forgiveness. Even though we might not see you on the cross like your disciples did, we believe you made a way for our forgiveness, to wipe our slate clean, and you rejoice over us with singing. On this day, they you, our Lord, have made, we can and do rejoice and pray in the name of Jesus, allowing us to pray together as our Saviour taught us with those words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Following this next hymn, Alison Haywood will come up and talk to us about prayer and various aspects of how it can involve us. And there is a video to be shown, so if the choir are able to, if you could move down to the pews at the front, you'll be able to watch it. Just because we don't have any children with us doesn't mean we can't have any hymns written for children. And our next one gently leads us along that route into Alison's time about prayer. It's hymn 493, It's Me, O Lord.
Tell me some of you have noticed it. Try Praying banner. And I'm here to really draw your attention to the Try Praying campaign. I think this is at least 10 years since the Try Praying campaign took off, starting from a small charity based in Edinburgh called There Is Hope. And I've stood up here a few times over the years to draw your attention to it. It has started as a booklet, it became a church project, and then it has become a multi-church project, and it's spread throughout Scotland and the UK, and even abroad in places. Hundreds of churches are involved, and you can see banners, particularly in cities, on the buses, railings, and railway stations. So I'm wanting us to be part of this again. And I'm going to be talking to you in a wee while again about this brochure, this Try Praying brochure. So I'd like you, if you would, just to look at, there's a short video here just explaining it better than I can.
Try Praying is an invitation for people who aren't religious and don't do church to begin talking with God. And it began as a chance conversation with somebody that I met several years ago, who explained that a relative had become a Christian because they'd been given a 40-day prayer guide. It was just a little light bulb moment. Why didn't we write a prayer guide for people who aren't religious and don't do church? I looked around, nobody had done one, so I ended up writing it. So Try Praying is a prayer guide, a simple prayer guide for people who are not religious and don't do church. 7 days, and it's got stories of answered prayer, it's got things they can do, they can pray about their own big issue, and crucially, it helps a person to begin to trust Christ with their lives.
The idea of the Try Praying booklet is to use it and to lose it. It's a 7-day prayer guide that's for people within church and for people without, for people who believe in God and for people who don't. Use it yourself first to become familiar with it, and then look for that God-given opportunity to pass it on to someone. That can be a friend, a neighbour, or even someone that you just bump into, so that you can say, try praying for a week and see what happens. You never know what could happen as a result.
So Try Praying is three things. It's a booklet to give away, it's a project for a church, and it's a multi-church project for a town or a city. The booklet to give away, sharing with friends and relatives. It's a project for a church with this use it and lose it idea. And it's a multi-church project when it goes into the public space and people see it and start asking questions, what's this all about?
Over recent years, there have been advertising campaigns that have put Try Praying into the public space. One way has been through bus adverts that have made Try Praying visible in towns and cities. Along with this, churches have been putting up the Try Praying banner, showing the unity of churches working together. All this makes for a large, visible impact. As Try Praying has grown, it has become more and more available. There's a booklet for children, there's a booklet for young people, one for prisoners, and there's now an app, making it globally accessible. Try Praying began in Edinburgh, but has now grown across Scotland, the UK, and other countries.
But the thing that really excites us are the stories that come back of God at work in people's lives.
I saw a banner saying Try Praying, and I thought to myself, well, why not? Something changed for me in that moment. It was like a light being switched on.
Try Praying has brought the churches in our town together.
The booklet helped me find God. Since I started praying, God has done so much in my life.
It is one of the most effective ways I know of engaging a whole region in the opportunity to draw near to God.
So the thing about this is it's an invitation for everybody to begin doing life with God, so that when a person prays the weakest and wobbliest of prayers, that God would move in and transform their lives. Try praying.
I have one request of you, which is that you would accept one of these prayer booklets, which will have people here and at the door up there as you leave the service. I would ask you to take one. Just use it for a week and then try to lose it. The use it and lose it is the mantra that they use. Maybe carry it in your pocket or your bag over the next few weeks, and just, you know, that unexpected God-given moment you might have to give it to somebody. So I'm just going to ask now a couple of people from our church to come up and talk about what praying means to them. So I'm going to, you don't have to be called Catherine to do this, but I have two Catherines coming up. I'll take the younger one first. So I'm just going to say this to you, Catherine. Can you give us a minute or two and just try and put in your own words what prayer means to you?
Hello, everyone. Prayer over the past few years has really changed my life. Going through quite a hard time a few years ago, I realised I needed God to get me through it, and that's exactly what he did. And it grew my faith even deeper that I could take anything to God. It didn't matter how big or small it was. And I've seen the changes in my own life, and it's really nice to look back and know that God's played his part in it. One of the first commandments is love your God with all your heart. And I think to truly love it needs to be like a communication between each other, and the way we do that is through prayer. So yeah, it's something I try every day. I know it's not always easy, life is really busy, but I dedicated some time to make sure I speak to God every single day. And it's been one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I'm going to hand over to the Aussie Cass. Yes. Just a wee something on prayer to you, what it means to you. Yeah.
I thought Catherine beautifully expressed the nature of personal prayer. But, you know, our God is a big God with wide interests. In fact, he's interested in everything. And that's partly why we have a vigil, which isn't really a vigil, it's actually more a prayer witness, because no one gets up in the middle of the night. But we come to the church every Thursday evening and pray. It was first for Ukraine, but for the conflicts in the world. And what we're doing is we're bearing witness through prayer that God is a great God, that God is interested in everything, that regardless of the Guardian or the BBC websites, it's actually God who's in control of all these situations. And we also bear witness to those who suffer. How many times do we see people's experiences cast aside and we're told that, no, that didn't happen or whatever. God knows what happens in people's hearts. He knows what happens in people's lives. And he is in position to be able to change that. So we bear witness to that. We bear witness to our own sin, and that the conflict in the world is due to us all, that we may only be a small part, but we are in a position to ask for forgiveness for the conflict in our lives. And lastly, we ask that God will make his will known in our lives and in our church, because we know that once we are on God's track, he will supply everything we need to do his will. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Thank you. That's just the first half. The second half is, I just want to talk to you a bit about our church praying team. We call it the Church Prayer Development Team, and it started a few months ago. And we're just, honestly, we're no one special. We're just a group of ordinary folk in the church who want to learn to try and bring everything to God in prayer, everything in our own lives and everything that's going on around. And we want to encourage everyone else to do that. This can be personal stuff or it can be wider concerns. So I'm going to embarrass some people. Some people are not here. We have 10 people in the group, and I'm just going to ask them as I name them to stand up. I know Amos is in South Africa, but so he won't be doing that. So there's Anne Barona, Chris Cameron, he's out, Catherine Johnson, you just heard a minute ago, Diane Miller, Katie Cameron, Nancy Pong, Neil Merrilies at the back there, and Jane Campbell, who's out with the kids, and myself. So that's our church development prayer team. So clock us. That's fine, just sit down, hang on. As many as can do, we try to meet after the service at the beginning of each month. face-to-face, because we think there's nothing like face-to-face prayer. We pray for a short time and we have a short discussion about practicalities. We also have a WhatsApp group, which has proved very useful and helpful for, on all sorts of levels, but it does mean that if there are any prayers that come in, we can react very quickly and pray between us about them. Now, as of today, we have prayer slips at the end of the pews as well, which we must thank Neil for basically getting together. And we also have prayer boxes. I'm hoping some of you know about that, but I have just invested in new prayer boxes. So we have one that's going to be sitting there rather than tucked in the corner there, so you can't miss it as you go out. We've got another one now as you come in the door, and then we've got one in Manor. Okay, so prayer requests can be anonymous or otherwise. Requests can be general or specific, and absolute confidentiality is guaranteed. And if anyone wants face-to-face prayer, we would suggest in the meantime that you speak to Amos, first of all. Amos may pass it on to the prayer group if the person is happy with that. And I would repeat that absolute confidentiality is assured. So we just encourage you to take another step along this path of prayer. And finally, we would welcome any suggestions of how we can encourage prayer in our corporate life, in the church here, and our faith journeys. And please don't hesitate to contact us to give us any ideas. We would welcome that very much. Thank you very much. Have I stayed within my allotted time? I got given strict instructions. Right.
Thank you, Alison. And we'll let the choir come back up, because once we finish the next hymn, but no children to go out, we will be straight into the anthem. So we'll let them get their breath back before we sing. Continuing the theme of prayer, and obviously grateful thanks to Alison and her team for that interesting session. Next hymn, hymn 545, Lord, teach us how to pray aright with reverence and with fear.
Our first reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, reading from verse 19 to 31. And this can be found on page 1089 in the Pew Bible. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And our second reading is taken from Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 27 to 32. And this can be found on page 1097 in the Pew Bible. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy work. And our next hymn is number 432, "How Often We Like Thomas."
Thank you.
As there are two fairly obvious strands to the service this morning, I thought it's fine, we'll have two sermons, or too many sermons, so in case you panic about the time of them. Firstly, a few words about prayer life and prayer life of a Christian. Author F.B. Meyer said, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Instead of it being something we do every day, like breathing, eating, walking, and talking, it seems we've become like that little glass-covered box on the wall that says, break in case of emergency." It's so true that very often we associate prayer with crises in our life. Four brief tips for praying. Firstly, pray with persistence. One of the most instructive parables Jesus ever told on prayer is to do with being persistent and not giving up in prayer. Luke 11, verse 9 is where we find the promise that says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Each of those verbs are in the present tense, active voice, and can be translated, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Jesus doesn't want us to give up in prayer. He instructs us to be persistent. Pray with passion. If you're persistent in something, it stands to reason you're going to be passionate about it. Jesus was passionate about his prayer life. It was something he was always doing. And every time you see Jesus praying, he was praying with passion. One example, Luke 23:24, as he hung on the cross, a life that is lived in passionate prayer will enable us to maintain that spirit, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Jesus always prayed with passion because he knew who it was he was praying to. And he knew that prayer to the Father is a powerful thing and not something to take lightly and glibly. Pray with thankfulness. Paul never fails to mention it. Philippians 4, verse 6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything we should pray, giving thanks as we make our petitions known to God. And finally, pray, making intercession. An intercessory prayer basically is praying for others. It's praying for God's will to be done in the lives of other people. Intercessory prayers characterize the prayer life of Jesus. Again, while he was on the cross, he was clearly praying for others when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Jesus prayed intercessory prayers. He was forever praying for others. Paul was also concerned that he was doing the will of God, and we should do likewise. How many of our prayers are directed at the expansion of his eternal kingdom rather than the expansion of our petty kingdoms? You see, when you pray for others, when you pray for God's work to be done, for his will to be accomplished, he'll begin to use you and me and grow us in ways that will astonish those around you. So what does your prayer life look like this morning? Are you persistent in prayer? Are your prayers passionate or are they perfunctory? Are they filled with intensity and fervor? Or are they weak, timid, and lacking faith? What about gratitude? How much time have you spent thanking God for all he has done for you? And who are you praying for? Is there anyone in your life that you are praying will get saved? Is there a burden in your heart to see God's kingdom expand, to see his will be done? Amen. Now, following the events of Easter Sunday in verse 19 of this morning's reading from John's Gospel, we read of another enclosed space. We move from tomb to room. Isn't it curious they were locked in a room, perhaps expecting destruction, given the marvelous news shared by the women in the morning? In their time of pain, confusion, and fear, they gathered together, most probably praying together and individually. Undoubtedly, there were many stories being told about Jesus' death. I'm sure there was the story that the disciples foolishly gave up so much to follow a man who died such a failure. No doubt there was also the story that Jesus didn't have the power and intimacy with God that he claimed, or else he wouldn't have died the way he did. How about the story that Jesus was no better than every other unsuccessful self-proclaimed Jewish Messiah? And there would be the story that the dead body of Jesus had been carried away, never to be seen again by those who loved him. But the beauty of this story is that Jesus overshadowed all those stories with a simple act of telling his own story. By showing the wounds in his body, he told his story that he had experienced the pain of death, but yet he stood as a testament that death did not have the last word. He stood as a testament that death had been swallowed up by God's victory. We see tender love from Jesus, giving his disciples again the gift of peace. He drew so close to them that they could feel Jesus' breath on them. And what a response in verse 20. Joy, rejoicing, gladness. Or as the Message version of the Bible says, awestruck. Verse 22 is the climax to the entire gospel, where the Spirit is given to the disciples in a provocative and personal way. The role of the Spirit here and its outpouring in Acts is to equip the disciples for mission. A question. What do Eliza Doolittle, Max Boyce, and Thomas the disciple have in common? To discern this, we need only listen to their own words to uncover a common denominator. Eliza Doolittle, the title character from the musical My Fair Lady, has been approached by Freddie Eynsford Hill, a charming and handsome socialite that she encounters when they both attend a horse race. He's trying to express his love for her with the song On the Street Where You Live. But as he then tries to say it, she responds with, I won't sing it, words, 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 I'm so sick of words, followed by, sing me no song, read me no rhyme, don't waste my time, show me. Max Boyce, that talented Welsh comedian, singer and entertainer, rose to fame in the mid-1970s. Yes, I'm showing my age a wee bit here. He had an act that combined musical comedy with his passion for rugby union and his origins in a South Wales mining community. His act was, and still is, a mixture of topical songs and stories, many of which have the occasional element of incredulity. However, one of his stock phrases is, that's a true story. I know, because I was there. And then there's Thomas. Verse 25, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. Although he has long been identified as the doubter, I think we can, maybe on second glance, also detect something beyond doubt. A yearning, perhaps. A yearning to see with his eyes and touch with his hands that which his soul already knows to be true. And I can't help but wonder if Thomas must not have felt as if perhaps he was being set up. As if the other disciples had said, hey, let's get Thomas back for not showing up last Sunday at Easter time. Let's play a prank on him. Hey, Thomas, guess what? We sang your favorite hymn last night, and then you're not going to believe what happened next. But of course, we know what happened in that closed room, and it was so much more than some sort of practical joke emanating from apostolic imaginations. Here in John's initial petition to the disciples, the church is being empowered by the giving of the Holy Spirit. The church is being given its mission. And part of that church, namely, is Thomas, and he's not present. And for church to be the church, all must receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not just those there in that locked room, but Thomas too, and us as well. While John may very well have been recounting a situation which was known to him to be true, The inclusion of that Thomas account also works well, and it captivates the hearts and minds of all other obstinate absentees to the resurrection, who, when faced with the mystery of the resurrection, might want to fling open the windows and shout, "Show me!" And then there is, of course, doubt, which I believe is the companion of faith. It's not the opposite. As with many things, doubt is healthy in moderation. Doubt tests faith. It tempers faith, and it makes faith stronger. As I said, doubt's not the opposite of faith, and I think it's another important notion for Christians and those striving to be Christians. Doubt is sometimes what keeps people out of church. But here is exactly the place where doubt should be brought. The mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and with one another in Christ. This reading for the second Sunday of Easter, then, is not only a story about Thomas's doubt or faith, perhaps even more importantly, it's a story of Christ living out his mission, a story of early Christians bringing others back into relationships with the living God, the resurrected Christ. The disciples brought Thomas deeply back into their fold, doubts and all. And it was there and then that Thomas encountered the risen Christ. And it was then that he no longer needed to touch to believe, because the presence was real, not only in the corporal reality of the resurrected Jesus, but in the living body of the gathered assembly, in the church living out its mission. And in case any of you are wondering what I feel the opposite of faith is, it's not doubt. Well, several possibilities can come to mind, but two of them to ponder. The first opposite of faith, I would suggest, is fear. And fear can destroy us. That's why in this day and age, we as people of faith stand apart from the rest of the world that seems to be fed on a daily diet of fear. And it is during this season of resurrection that we celebrate the destruction of death and therefore are assured that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And it's always the voices of the heavenly visitors who remind us, do not be afraid. The other great opposite of faith is certainty. For faith is organic. It's alive. It's growing. It wrestles around and grows stronger even when it's being tested. But certainty, so much the bedrock of scientists, is cold and solid. Certainty is unchanging, inorganic, unmalleable. And so with Blessed Thomas, we celebrate Christian doubt this day. We celebrate that part in each of us, which on some level says, could all of this really have happened? And we also celebrate the mission of the church, that life-affirming, restorative commitment to unity with God and one another in Christ that is the great gift of the church to the world. Earlier in the service, Alison exhorted us to bring others into our family of those who pray. We pray to an unseen God in whom we believe through faith, without doubt. And what we know to be true is this, that we, with Thomas and with all the other disciples and all the patriarchs and matriarchs and all the saints and martyrs in glory, we stand together each and every time we gather in the presence of the living Christ. We stand together collected through faith, a collected faith that extends through time and space, needing no longer to reach our hand out in doubt to touch. We're reaching out our hands in faith to gather in all who so desperately yearn to taste and see and proclaim with us boldly through faith. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, we believe you. All we heard is true. You break the bread. We recognize you. You are the fire that burns within us. Use us to light the world. Amen. Let us dedicate the offering and ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give these gifts as an act of worship and obedience. May they serve your purpose and bring hope to those in need. Dear Lord, we give back to you in thankfulness what you have given to us in kindness. Help us to exercise responsibly the authority you give us in our world. We dedicate our lives, talents, and resources to you, O God, trusting that you will guide us in their use. Gracious God, as we give, let our hearts be devoted to you. May this act of giving not be routine, but a genuine expression of our love and commitment to your kingdom. Amen. Our next hymn, hymn 374, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. We come to our prayers of intercession, or as I said earlier, our prayers for others. When praying for others, there are many situations around the world right now, both close to home and further afield, where there seems to be no hope. And yet, God is the one who breathes life into these. He is our hope. He is the one who overcomes. So let us now pray to that God. Eternal Father, to you, who is, who was, and who is to come, who loved us and washed us from our sins, who has made us kings and priests to God, To you be glory and power forever and ever. Lord Jesus, you are a faithful witness, interceding at the throne of God for us. We are your faithful witnesses here on earth, and we intercede for those here. For those who are voiceless, stumbling, or in need, we praise you when our loved ones cannot, standing in the gap for them as they navigate difficult circumstances. We cry out to you for help and healing for those of us who are struggling with depression and oppressive, confusing thoughts which conflict our souls and impact our mental health and well-being. Free us from being tangled in the net set to trap us, so we can soar free like birds on your wings. We think of young people and students who are now in their exam season. Give them and their families peace, reminding them that you are with them every day. Tender Lord, we pray for those sent into mission fields, as we all are. In particular, we pray for those sent into the sporting community, that their competitive natures do not lead them astray, but that you make them compassionate and bold in their faith, and that you would open doors for your church to minister well in this area. Your word tells us that you are the ruler of the kings of the earth, and in all the earth, 1 in 7 believers face persecution and discrimination. God, bring righteous rulers to these countries to end this persecution, and strengthen our brothers and sisters to remain faithful to you, as you are faithful to them and their families. Help us all, Holy Spirit, to remember Jesus is our hope, trust, and faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord Almighty, and whose praise is forever on our lips. Father, while I said earlier we have no children in our midst, we do have baby Corn with us. We bless him to you and his family, to Hannah and Douglas, and to Elizabeth and Guy and the extended family. Bless them. Keep them in your hearts. Father in heaven, we praise your name for all who have finished this life loving you and trusting you, for the examples of their lives, the life and grace you gave them, and the peace in which they rest. We praise you today for your servant Pope Francis and for all that you did through him. Meet us in our sadness and fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving for the love of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the one who is faithful and true, Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Closing hymn today, hymn 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Thank you.
now to love and forgive. For as God sent Christ, so Christ is now sending us. Obey God above all other authority and bear witness to Christ's resurrection life. And may God continue the work of salvation in us. May Christ Jesus meet us in our doubts and fears. And may the Holy Spirit fill us with peace and speak through us with mercy. We go now in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ.